Thank you for joining us here on the Radio Bible Course as we continue our study of Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Today we begin with chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up by revelation, and I laid before them, but privately before those who were of repute, the gospel which I now preach among the Gentiles, lest somehow I should be running or had run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not compelled to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. But because of false brethren secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to them we did not yield submission, even for a moment, that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who were reputed to be something, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who were of repute added nothing to me, but on the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for the mission to the circumcised worked through me also for the Gentiles. And when they perceived the grace that was given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. Only they would have us remember the poor, which very thing I was eager to do. In this section of the Epistle to the Galatians, we have Paul expressing the apostolic endorsement of his gospel. This was important, of course, because if he could prove that the other apostles approved of him and his gospel, that would be a powerful argument that what Paul was preaching was not contrary to the Christian faith. And so here in this chapter he points out how those apostles did support him. They did not disagree with his gospel, and they did not require Titus, who had been taken there with Paul as a test case, they did not require him to be circumcised. See, his father was a Greek. Now, why did Paul even bring that up? Because if the apostles, those chosen by Jesus, didn't require Titus to be circumcised, how could these false Jewish teachers require circumcision? And how could they say that circumcision was necessary? So Paul is bringing forth powerful arguments here. In verse 1, he talks about 14 years. He said, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. There are two views of when this visit took place. One school of thought holds that Paul here is referring to a visit to Jerusalem described in Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 29. They refer to this as the famine visit. And here's what it says. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So some scholars hold that when Paul writes, after 14 years he went to Jerusalem, they think he's referring to the famine visit. The second view holds that Galatians chapter 2 refers to the visit recorded in Acts 15, and I prefer this view because of the content of Galatians 2 and Acts 15. They are quite similar. Now, assuming that this does refer to the Jerusalem council meeting, which is recorded in Acts chapter 15, I want to point out that this was the most important Christian meeting ever held since the day of Pentecost. Never was so much at stake. It was precipitated by a problem in the church. First of all, there were different opinions about the terms of salvation for Gentiles. The question was this: on what terms does God accept men for salvation? And the problem is expressed in Acts chapter 15, 1 and 2. First of all, it reads, "But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brethren, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.' And when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question." That's what led to the council meeting in Jerusalem at about 50 A.D. Now in verse 5, it tells us there was more to the problem. And this is Acts 15, verse 5. "But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, 'It is necessary to circumcise them and to charge them to keep the law of Moses.'" Their false teaching was based on the assumption that the Christian faith was an addition to Judaism or a supplement to it, and they insisted that Gentile believers in Christ conform to Jewish practices. For them, salvation consisted, first of all, of believing in Jesus Christ, who died, plus circumcision, plus the keeping of the Old Testament laws. Well, you can see that wasn't much of a salvation if men had to do all those things. When would they know if they had done enough, and need they do them perfectly? The view of those Jewish teachers obviously was this, that if you Gentiles want to get to God, the way to do it is to believe in Christ, become Jews, follow the rituals and the laws of Judaism, and then you will get to God because we are God's people and we'll get you there. God has spoken to nobody except the Jews, they said, and therefore, anybody who wants to be saved must become a Jew. There, of course, was a real problem with this because Judaism had forgotten Abraham's salvation. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, we find that Abraham was declared righteous by God, and that was long before the law was ever given. Abraham also was declared righteous by God through faith before he was circumcised. Circumcision had not yet been given. These Jews who were troubling the Galatians were not even teaching the religion of the Old Testament. The religion of the prophets and the patriarchs was salvation by the grace of God through faith. And that's borne out by the book of Habakkuk, by the book of Psalms, especially Psalm 32, and the book of Genesis. The religion given to Israel had been buried with tradition, and it became a merit approach to God, and that's what Judaism was pushing on these Gentile believers. And of course, all this implied that Jesus' death had very limited value. What was really important was that circumcision and the keeping of the law. Paul, however, had been preaching a gospel that not only emphasized a faith response and faith alone, but also he warned against adding to it. His gospel promised salvation to everyone who believed, but not to those who tried to save themselves by keeping the law of Moses. We need to understand what Paul clearly teaches in Ephesians chapter 2, where he shows that both Gentile and Jew must believe in Christ in order to enter the church, and once they are in the church, they are saved. They are saved, of course, through faith in Jesus Christ. There was no difference. God never, in the New Testament, asked a Gentile to become a Jew in order to get to heaven. Now listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, that's Gentiles, have been brought near in the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who has made us both one. The both refers to Jew and Gentile, and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. You see, what Paul is expressing is that God is not making a Jewish nation out of the Gentiles, nor is he even dealing with Jews anymore. He is calling both Jew and Gentile into a new body. He wants to make a new man, as Paul writes. One new man in place of the two, so making peace. Now, there was a lot of warfare and hostility between Jew and Gentile, but once they come to Christ, they are united in faith, and the hostility is gone. They are reconciled, both of them, to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. Now, it's too bad that we forget this teaching of the Apostle Paul, and it's too bad that those Judaizers in the first century didn't even know about it. This, of course, was written later. But Paul needed to make it clear, and ever since that time, we have understood that Christians don't have to become Jews. But what we have not understood and failed to grasp here is that Christ ended the law. Verse 15 says, by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances. Now, he can't create in himself one new man as long as that law was standing, because that would have favored the Jews. But once he abolished the law of commandments by dying and fulfilling all that they required, then they were done with. And now he could build one new man on a different basis. It was salvation by grace through faith and live under a new commandment, the commandment of love. Time doesn't permit to complete our study of Acts chapter 15, that Jerusalem Council meeting, but we'll pick up there tomorrow. All of these lectures on Galatians are available on cassette tape. There are 12 of them. And you can write to the Radio Bible Course for information about this set of tapes and also 25 other short courses on cassette tape for your study at home. Send your letter to the Radio Bible Course. Those of our listeners who like to study the Bible by listening to tapes, you'll be interested to know that our teaching tapes on the Epistle to the Romans have been revised and are now available for your purchase. The entire book of Romans is now on 36 tapes. Write to the Radio Bible Course and ask for information about the Romans tapes. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.